Good morning. So, it's time to get dressed. Put on your garment of praise. And would you stand with us and let's praise His holy name. Glory to God. Coming on the clouds of glory, eyes of flame of fire. From His mouth a two-edged sword, His face the purest light. Darkness trembles at His name, prison walls come down. At the mighty name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Let God arise. Let God arise. King of kings and Lord of lords, God who reigns on high. Let God arise. Risen with healing in His wings, redemption in His hand. By His blood the guilty ones before His presence stand. Loosing captives from their bondage, setting prisoners free. Those who walked in sin and shame, who once were blind, now see. Let God arise. Let God arise. King of kings and Lord of lords, God who reigns on high. Let God arise. You are glorious, You are marvelous, King and Lord on high. Mighty God and King of kings, alleluia. Risen victorious over all, Your great name we sing. You are glorious, You are marvelous, King and Lord on high. Let God arise. Let God arise. Oh, let's praise His name. Glory to Your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, rise, O God. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. The Scripture says, let God arise. But the other half of that is, let His enemies be scattered. You want to have, you want to get rid of the enemy? Start praising His name. Oh, let God arise. Praise His name. Thank You, Lord. You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by You. Lord, I'm amazed by You. Lord, I'm amazed by You. How You love me. Lord, I'm amazed by You. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand. You hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. How wide, how deep, how great is your love for me. How wide, how deep, how great is your love for me. Oh, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. How wide, how deep, how great is your love for me. How wide, oh, how wide, Lord, how deep, oh, how deep, how great is your love for me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you for your love, Lord. Oh, Ramamamanteshe. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise your name. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh, rabba baba, kiete aramba baba, seek and praise your name. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God has three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great our God. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. God, sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great our God. And all will see how great God. Name above all names, name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. He is the name above all names, name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Oh God, you're great, we praise your name. Oh great and mighty God. As I encouraged you last week, if the Lord speaks a word to your heart, a prophetic word, be sure that you open that up and share it with the body for everyone's edification. If God speaks to you, be brave and speak that out. Oh God, we give you glory and honor and praise. You are the great and mighty God. Oh, name above all names, name above all names. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, our God, you are good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the mercy, goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness. God. Oh, our God, we praise your name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Oh, your good Lord, we praise your name. Oh, God, our God. Oh, God, our God. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we testify of your goodness, Lord. You are good. You are good. You are good. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Did you enjoy our guitar player today? Yay! Amen. Thank you for joining us, Tom. That was wonderful. Glory to God. My only regret is that we missed Judy on the conga this week. Is it your testimony that God is good? The goodness of God. He is wonderful. Glory to His name. Anybody have a testimony this week of His goodness? I saw Roxanne's hand immediately go up.
I just want to thank God that His direction with the doctor's hands, and they got all the cancer off the back of my hand on Tuesday.
Hallelujah.
I just want to give Him the praise. Thank you.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else have a testimony today? I'm so excited. My, if you hear those little voices in the back there, that's my two little grandchildren. Oh, here comes Kevin.
Oh, I can't tell you how pleased I am that they got the cancer off her fingers. She's a little sore. She's got sutures on the front, on the top, and they sewed up her muscles beneath that. And then they thought they had it all. They had to go and get it again. But, man, I am totally blessed to have this woman in my life.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Don't be shy. We know that God is always at work. Sometimes He's a little more obvious than other times. But He's always at work. Glory to His name. How are you doing back there, Curtis? Lots of progress. That's what we like. I see Lene coming.
This is nothing that happened this week, but just singing that song about God's faithfulness reminded me, as I was sitting there, I was remembering time after time after time in my life that He has been faithful. And it's just kind of my life story is how faithful He has been. When there has been a crisis, He has fixed it. Or he's shown me the new path, and I just was encouraged to hear that and wanted to encourage others to think about the times God has been faithful.
Any of you, can any of you testify that if it wasn't for the goodness of God, you wouldn't be alive today? I know that's for sure. I wouldn't even be here today. Thank God for His goodness. Oh, rescued lives. The greatest testimony that Jesus is real is a transformed life. And glory to God. Amen. Amen, amen. I have just a couple of extra announcements I wanted to mention to you. You'll notice we've got our TVs sort of up. They were supposed to be up on the walls, but we had a little, Tom had a little fiasco trying to get the right wall hangers. Got some, and they weren't big enough, and then went to another place where they assured him that they would ship the correct size, and they came, and they were still 8 inches too short. So we stuck them up on tables today, but it gives you an idea. It's a teaser. We're hoping maybe next week it'll be functional. We have our tech guy, Greg, from Strategy 153. That's a very interesting. I have to ask him where that name came from. That's coming this Thursday, did you say?
Yes, how much
you charge per hour? Oh, I hope that's not true. Or I hope it's a short. I hope it's a short job. Oh, yeah. Amen. So anyway. And thanks to Tom Brazell, he has been up here every day after day, wiring the stuff up and putting it up around. Thank you. Yeah. He really has a servant's heart. Thank you for all you've done. It's been such a blessing. Some of you may not know he's going back to work. I don't know if I was supposed to tell. He's still going to be here. I'm telling tales on you. I shouldn't tell. I should let you tell. Do you want? No. He's going. Well, I don't know the official title. Well,
Global Missions Director for Elam Fellowship. He's going back to the position that he had before. There was somebody in here recently, and Tom is going back. He's going to kind of interim for a while, part-time, thank God, because I told him he can't be gone from here too long, because we need him here too. But he's going to spend a couple days a week up there, and I know that God's going to use him in great ways there. Remember to pray for him in that position. When do you start? May 9th. Okay, so remember to keep him in prayer for that. That's a big job, and it's over missionaries worldwide. That's a big deal. And that office and that position is a lifeline for those people. And when there's trouble, it's like calling the bat phone, the red phone, somebody calls, help! You know, and somebody needs to be there. And someone needs there. If you're a missionary out somewhere like the Bowdens in Niger and you need somebody, you need them now. And so that's a really important thing. Yeah. You just got a vote of confidence there, Brother Tom. That's good. Amen. I have a couple of service requests before I bring our brother Dick up. I'm just eager to give him as much time as possible. But one of those lovely sets of hangers that was too short that we can't use has to go back to Home Depot. Walmart, sorry. And probably it doesn't matter whether it went to Olean or Hornell. We just need a person that is heading up there maybe this week that could return those. If you could return a couple of hangers for us to Walmart for Brother Tom, that would be lovely. That would be wonderful. Get them out. The other request I have is our cleaner, Devin Reagan, with his wife, Shay, and their two kids, Harrison and Cadence, are going to Kenya for a couple weeks. They're going over to the Rehema home, and that means our church has the potential to become very dirty. And we need help if anybody is interested in a two-week paid cleaning job. We pay you well. We could use somebody. It's about 3 hours a week. And we could use somebody. If you could help, please see me as soon as possible. Or next week, you will not have a clean bathroom. No, we'll make sure it happens. But if somebody could help us with that, please see me. We kind of need to set a plan in place for that. So, well, we're really happy to have Dick Grout with us today. And Dick is recently... I didn't know. I thought you were still teaching. Recently, he has entered the glory land. Hallelujah. He has become retired. But not retired from serving Jesus. He's still going for the Lord. And I contacted him and he said, I would love to come down. It would be an honor. So, Dick, come on up and come share with us. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Am I on? Am I sounding like I'm on?
I think you are.
All right. If I'm not on, I'm off. And that doesn't sound good either, so I guess I'm on. How's that look? Yes? Uh-huh. That voice is larger than my own voice, so I know I must be on. How are you this morning?
Good.
You got some guy up here, you're wondering how tall he really is, you're wondering who he is and what in the world's going on, but it is a joy. It is an honor to be with you this morning. And I was struck by your bulletin. I always love when Bible verses are placed on the front. This one from Psalm 145. It's a song I wrote years and years ago, but it just reminded me of good things. So you've got this to take home with you. It's a great one. I will extol thee, O God, my King, or my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. What a heritage we have to join among the people of God, not just in this church and not just in this area, but through the ages, through the nations of the world who have the same claim because of the grace of God that we can bless His name forever and ever and ever. and ever. That is amazing. Every day I will bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Good bulletin cover. Thank you for that. I want to talk to you about worship. You might have understood by this time, according to Pastor Dave, that you're in the middle of a series on worship. So we're going to share a couple of things about that. In fact, it's called The Revelation of Worship. And we'll get there in just a minute. You ever watch The Lord of the Rings? I know some people are like, you watch movies? Well, I've watched that one. I watched a few movies, and I'd be careful. But yeah, so there's three. There's a trilogy, and the second one is called Two Towers, in case you've seen that at all. It's also a book, J.R.R. Tolkien. In any case, right in the middle of this book, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, Sam and Frodo are walking. They're traveling. They're weary. They're exhausted. They're reluctantly heading towards Mount Doom. Got to say that like that. If you've seen that, you know. I wish I had that. Whoa. But they stop at one point, and the camera zooms right up on them, and they're weary and discouraged. And Sam looks around and says, I don't have a really good Sam voice or accent, but he says, this place looks strangely familiar. And Frodo, with that tired look, and because he is exhausted, Frodo looks up and says, Sam, that's because we've been here before. We're going in circles. We're going in circles. You ever done that before? You ever walked in circles? Going in circles is an interesting human phenomenon. It just happens. And it happens especially in places like, not that you're going to be in a desert anytime soon, but you might. But you get someplace where it's just like flat, no points of reference at all. You just start walking. Or you're in a forest where there's a lot of trees. You're not really sure of the forest, but you're walking. And as far as you know, you're going straight ahead. In fact, if someone asks you, now you walk through this forest or on this desert, you walk straight ahead. People tend to walk in circles, just like Frodo. It's something that we do. Now, the theory has been for years and years that the reason that we walk in circles is because one leg, they say, was a little longer, or one leg is a little stronger. We have a dominant leg, and so we would tend to favor that and walk in circles. And it's not that that's not true, but they've also done some research recently on this area, and using all the high-tech stuff and GPS tracking devices and everything else. And what they found is that when a person is told to walk in a straight line, the same person, the first time, might circle off to the right eventually and do that. But the next time they're up, the same person would then maybe circle off to the left. And it kind of ruins that longer leg, stronger leg theory, because if you have a certain, you know, you would always do it the same way. But they're finding people going different directions, the same person. So they've been researching this, and they found this, and I find it an interesting conclusion. They said that the reason that we walk in circles is because that person who's walking, they're not sure where straight ahead is. They're not sure. You're told to walk straight ahead, so the best we can, we're walking. But you get out somewhere where there's no point of reference to look at. A cloudy day, there's no sun, there's no stars. Or you're in a forest you don't know. The best you know is that, yes, I'm walking straight ahead. And if you talk to a person who was told to walk straight ahead, but the GPS results afterward says, buddy, look at the screen, we tracked you, and within about 5 miles, you walked all the way around in a circle. They would have felt like they were walking straight. Everything within them was like, I'm going that way, I'm going that way. Without knowing it, we begin to veer off one way or the other. We don't really know. Even though we think we do, we feel like we do, but we're really not certain where straight ahead really is. Why is this? It's because our human perceptions are not really reliable. No matter how hard we try, no matter how sincere we are, in order to successfully walk in a straight line, we need landmarks or points of reference outside of ourselves. If we just rely on how we feel we're walking, our perceptions, our feelings, our emotions and whatnot, we, without knowing it, we begin to veer off in a circle. We need points of reference outside of ourselves, like a mountain in the distance, a tower, the position of the sun or the stars. Something that we can watch as we walk, that we can always be making little tiny course corrections so we can stay on track, so we can go in a straight line as we intended to do. Now, as true as this is in the natural, you can guess where I'm going with this, at least a little bit. It's just as true in your spiritual life. It's just as true in terms of walking with God. It may feel like we're going straight. God, I'm down the straight and narrow. I'm walking with you just fine. But there's an old hymn that you ought to sing it around here once in a while, Pastor Dave, if you don't. But it's called, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And there's a line in there that I hate and I love at the same time. Because it says this, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I'm not trying to leave the God I love, but within me is that same inability to walk in a direction and a straight line without just a little bit of... So we need a point of reference. And God, in His wisdom, God in His love, His compassion for us, knowing the tendency that we have to wander, knowing that that's something within us, to, like Frodo, to walk in circles, to not really be going straight as we ought to go straight, He gave us, and I love Him for it, He gave us two significant points of reference that are outside of ourselves and outside of our experience. One is His Word, and one is His Son. Now that's incredible. In other words, the Word of God is the Word of God, and it stands forever, and it's not going to change. It's not dependent on your feelings and your ups and downs, good day, bad day, doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. It's locked in. And the Son of God, my goodness. Now, when God begins to talk to you in His Word about His Son, you know He's got something to say to you. And He's bringing truth to you that's not dependent on your personal experience or your personal wisdom or your feelings. He's trying to tell us something like a mountain in the distance that does not move. He's given us a point of reference that we can, as we walk with God, we will have a clear reference point. Say, oh, I'm getting a little off, a little bit of a tweaking, a little bit of repentance, a little bit of adjustment is due in my course because I need help so I don't find myself 10 miles down the road or 10 years down the road walking in a circle. And God in His mercy gave us His Word and gave us His Son. Now in His Word, here's what He tells us about His Son, the two points of reference. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. And the context to that, of course, in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it's as we're running or as we're walking, as we're moving and walking with God, He says, as you run the race set before you, fix your eyes on Him. He's the landmark. He's the point of reference that doesn't change. He can't change. Jesus Christ is, say it with me, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the rock that doesn't roll. He's the mountain on the horizon. Keep your eyes on Him. Fix your eyes on Him. In fact, in the original language of the New Testament, that phrase, fix your eyes, means exactly that. It means lock them on and leave them there. It means to look at Him. It means, in fact, it means this, to turn away from anything else and everything else that might distract you as you run, as you walk with God. Turn away from anything else that would distract you and lock them on Him. Fix them on Him. Don't take them off. Look intently. Matter of fact, it says to look steadfastly toward a distant object. Well, the distant object, if you will, is Jesus Himself. And He's there, and we're getting closer, and we walk after Him, and day by day, we're getting closer to Him. If He's coming, or if I'm going to go to be with Him, He's coming to grab me. I don't know how it's all going to work. I know that He knows what He's doing in the time. But as I walk, and as you walk, as we together as the body of Christ walk after God, our personal race, and yet join together, we walk after God. fix your eyes on him. Which means, again, two things. Turn away from that which would distract you. Because my goodness, have we got a world full of distractions out there. Things that would love to just have us turn aside. Fix them on him as you walk. So having our eyes fixed on Jesus, looking steadfastly at him, turning away from, free of distraction, to me is like the summary of everything that is really important, because the Lord summed up the Christian life in two simple words, and this is something you could take home. He said this about what it is. He said, follow me. Just follow me. That means that he's in motion. He's going somewhere, and he tells us, now keep your eyes on me, follow after me. You're going to do just fine. On the one hand, the Christian life is not all that difficult. It's just, there he is. Don't get distracted. Walk after him. If you don't fix your eyes on him, as much as you think you're doing fine, you may find yourself towards Mount Doom with Frodo, walking in a circle and never knowing what happened. Oh, you're sincere. With all of your heart, you believe you're doing just fine. You need points of reference outside of yourself. Jesus tells us to follow after him. But here's what I've found. I can't follow somebody that I can't see. I can't follow him if I can't see him. So what we need to do is say, Lord, would you open up the eyes of my heart? Not so much, I mean, I'm doing fine with the physical eyes. I got glasses in the last couple of years, but that's all fine too. I can still see you out there, by the way. Now, it's not these eyes that he's concerned with. It's the inner eyes. That's what he wants. And so we need to, if I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, I need to have the eyes of my heart opened so I can see the one that I'm following, lest I wander away and lest I walk in circles. We need a correct theological, how's that for a phrase? Correct theological understanding of the place and the practice, and here comes the word you're waiting for me to say, worship. You're speaking on worship, right, buddy? Yeah, I really am. I got there, but I had to say what I said because what I'm mentioning and what I'm teaching about seeing is crucial when it comes to understanding worship and the connection between seeing God with the eyes of our heart opened and being able to walk straight after him, and then how worship works in all of that, I want to say in the next few minutes this morning. Here's a statement for you. Accept it or reject it, whatever you will, but I'm going to prove to me, I find it absolutely correct. Here it is. Worship does not begin with singing. Worship begins with seeing. Worship doesn't begin necessarily with singing. Worship begins with seeing. Now, what do I mean? Especially in our Western contemporary culture, we are very used to equating worship with singing. When the worship leader says, as you did so well this morning, Pastor Dave, thank you so well. When he says, all right, time to worship, let's stand to our feet. What do you expect is going to happen right about then? Wall or either the sheet in front of me or the screen coming up is going to flash up some words and I'm going to be singing a song of worship. And that's wonderful. And that's basically, and I think in every Christian denomination, that's kind of the pattern or the model that we're used to. When it's worship time, it's singing time. Now that's wonderful. But worship actually begins with seeing, because is it true if I say these words to you that singing worship songs doesn't necessarily mean that we're worshiping? Can you sing without worshiping God? Can you sing good worship songs without really worshiping God? All right, this is getting beyond what I can even start to get into today, but I realize that when Jesus revealed to us in John 4, 23 and 24, he said, the hour is coming and it's here right now. And the Father is seeking for those who worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I'll tell you what, spirit and truth have nothing to do with music. They're not musical terms. They're not talking about a song that you sing. It can happen during worship music. But spirit and truth are heart issues. They're deeper issues. They're down inside. There's spiritual something, substance, something good going on. That's what God is looking for, is the reality of worship inside of you. Singing it from your mouth is wonderful too. That's an expression of the worship. But if it's not in the heart, it's not going to come out the mouth. Or maybe empty words will come out the mouth, but you know from your Bible reading exactly what God thinks about it when we honor Him with our lips. This is the book of Isaiah and the book of Matthew. He said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me. So God is looking for more than just nice songs, even the beautiful voices I heard around me this morning, even beautiful harmony, even a wonderful band behind us here. He's looking for more. Nothing wrong with any of that, but worship doesn't begin with singing. The worship that God is looking for from the worshipers that He's seeking, according to Jesus, spirit and truth, it begins in the heart. Now, worship, or rather singing in worship, is crucial. And my goodness, it's biblical, isn't it? Does your Bible talk about singing? Your book of Psalms and different books? Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not in any way, please don't misunderstand me. I'm saying it's wonderful to be able to sing. In fact, and this is what I found in my experience, that many times I often come to see God better as I'm singing the song, and I'm singing the truth of those words of the song that I'm singing, which is why, and I know, Pastor Dave, you do this, worship leaders need to prayerfully and carefully choose the songs that they're asking us to stand up, open our mouth, and sing. Because the words that are on the screen or on the paper in front of you will have a lot to do with the direction that you're walking and the intention and the direction of your heart. So we want to help. Worship leaders need to basically help us to fix our eyes on Jesus as we walk. Sermons are wonderful, but chances are when you leave this morning, you'll probably be humming the goodness of God or something. In other words, many times what sticks with you throughout the rest of the day and the rest of the week is not just the truth of what some guy gets up here and blah, blah, blah. It's what you sang, because it gets down into your heart and your emotions, and you find yourself humming it at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And that comes back. So it's very important that worship leaders watch that and what songs they ask us to sing. Do you sing the song here, Build My Life? All right, you know that one. It's been around a few years. I'll tell you, there's some really good, well done, if I could say it, worship lyric writing. There's one, I think it's the chorus of that song. But it says, Holy, there is no one like You. There is none besides You. Now watch this. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who You are. That right there is like, yes, I wish I'd written that line. It's so good. Open up my eyes in wonder. Now what does wonder mean in the English language? A couple different things. One is like curiosity. Wonder if it's going to rain today. That's not what the songwriter is saying here. Wonder as in like a childlike wonder, like wow, like amazement, like astonishment, like awe, like oh my goodness. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who You are. Show me. That's the opening of the eyes of our heart. Times of worship are orchestrated by the Holy Spirit for us to be in an atmosphere and a place where we can be encouraged to actually open the eyes of our heart, and we can actually see Him better and better. Worship is the time for our spiritual eyes to be open. Whether we're singing worship songs or not is not the issue. Worship doesn't begin with singing. I wish it did. It'd be easy. Just kind of put it in, crank the weight, bam, we got it. We got worship, instant worship. But God gets a little more personal than just, are you singing right now? Are you on your feet singing whatever from a book or from the wall? He says, where's your heart? Where's your heart at? He's looking for the heart. Oh, my goodness. So you sing, open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Sing it with me. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I'm banging here. I want to see you. Sword drums was my first instrument, so I'm just like a... That's it. Ephesians 1:18. Paul put a prayer. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. In fact, I was reading the Amplified Bible. I pray that the eyes of your heart, which is the very center and the core of your being, may be enlightened or flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. So that's where that song and other songs through the ages have come from. It's a cry. It's a prayer. It's a God, will you just, it's a petition to the Lord. Will you open the eyes of my heart? Because if you don't, I'm going to be walking without even knowing I'm doing it. I'm going to be getting off course. I'm going to be backsliding. I'm going to be numb. I'm going to be... Just what happened to the fire? What happened to the passion? Open the eyes of my heart is simply a prayer asking God to show us what he's like. Heard about a kindergarten teacher. And she got up one day and said to her class, all right, I want you to take out a piece of paper and some crayons and color a picture of anything you want. So here's the class, kindergarten class, going after this, and they're working, and she's walking around the room observing the students as they work. And she comes beside a desk of this little girl who just seemed to be working especially hard on her picture. And she says, Sally, what are you drawing? And Sally stops and glances up and says, I'm drawing God. A teacher says, sweetheart, no one knows what God looks like. And Sally says, they will in a minute. And I'm done. Now, Sally, bless your heart, with all of her good intentions, she can't open the eyes of my heart. She can't really show me what God looks like. All right? Even though she believes she really can. I can't do that either. No human being can do that for us. God is the one who has to come and open the eyes of our heart to see him. Jesus loves to do it. If you're taking notes at all, just jot down John 14:21. Jesus said, I will love them. And I will come and I will reveal myself to each of them. So cool. It's so cool that God really wants to show himself. He wants to open up the eyes of our heart to see him. The Amplified Bible here says, I will let myself be clearly seen by them and I'll make myself real to them. That gives me hope. I'm not going to walk in the dark. I'm not going to be wandering. I'm not going to be walking in circles. God is the one who's coming. I will love them, he says, John 14:21. I'll reveal myself to each of them, which means that he's going to open up my spiritual eyes. Which, of course, reveal gives us the word revelation. I've said this is called, if you want a title for the sermon, it's called the revelation of worship. So, revelation is the uncovering of something that was covered. It was veiled. And then to reveal, it means that the veil has been taken off. Have you ever looked at something but not really seen it? I won't ask husbands and wives to comment on some of the things that happened in the course of a day about, honey, go to the fridge, then the butter is, and guys, I'm sorry, I won't just stereotype, but we open the door of the fridge and we're like, it's not where she said it was. And she walks out, kind of moves it aside, it's right here. You look at something but you really don't see it. I was looking the other day, we get the Penny Saver up at Lima, and this happens to be on the, I tear out the page, it's called the Active Senior Living. I thought, thanks for that. Here I am, an active senior. But anyway, on this page, maybe you've seen this thing, they got like two pictures right down here, and they look exactly alike. But they say in the directions, find at least six differences between the two pictures. So I say, all right, this week, I'm going for it. Now, Margie's over there waiting to come over and show me. Because she's really good at that. But I say, no, stay there. Stay there. And I like get down with my, like, and I'm comparing each square inch with the square inch below. And the frustration is mounting. Because I can't, they look exactly alike. All right, honey, come here. And she walks over and she glances at it, and not much more time is spent than that. And she goes, that's different. Well, that's not dumb. And I'm like, how do you do that? But as soon as she shows me something that I couldn't see before, then I can't not see it. It's like, why did I have you? If I had looked harder, I would have been able to get it. But I don't get it until it's been shown to me. And once it's been revealed to me, then I see it. And I got it. Then I can tell somebody else, yeah, come out here, look, come here, kid, look at this. And I can show you. And she over there smiling at me, you know. But because she showed me, I know how to show somebody else. That's called revelation. It was covered. It was veiled before, and I couldn't see it, and I couldn't be able to see it on my own. But once it's been shown to me, I see it. That's exactly the context that I need to have happen to my spiritual eyesight, and that God says can happen to my spiritual eyesight. But I have to pray, and that's exactly what God tells us to do, is pray that the eyes of your heart can be opened. You can be enlightened. And again, why am I doing that? Because I know my tendency. I think I'm doing fine. I think I'm walking straight. And yet, I find myself over here somewhere with a hard heart and wonder how I ever got here. It's just been in the little... See, it's not like if you're walking in circles, it's not like you just kind of walk up and all of a sudden you just do this and you're going that way all of a sudden. It doesn't happen like that. It happens an inch at a time. An inch. As far as we know, as far as we feel inside, we're still walking straight because we have no point of reference outside of ourselves to judge and to compare. Oh, there's the mountain. So I'm getting a little off. I've got to turn back on. That's what we need. So He's given us His Word, and He's given us His Son to be that rock, to be that point of reference, that landmark that I can always fix my eyes on and see Him, and then I know exactly where I'm at and how I need to change. God can be right beside us, and we may not even see Him. I was glancing. This is a scary verse, but it's just how it works. Genesis 28:16. God revealed Himself one night to Jacob in a dream. Remember that? Jacob laid down, went to sleep, had a dream. God came and spoke to him, promises and whatnot. But when Jacob woke up from his sleep, the Bible says, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. In other words, God was right there talking to me in my dream, and I didn't even know it. I just didn't see it. But it's when he woke up that he saw it. He realized, wow, God was like, whew, right there, and I didn't see Him. You ever felt like God has been like come up and just touch you? I mean, He's that close. Closer than your next breath, as we say. And sometimes we're like just blah, 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 and just walking on. He's so close to us. But we, like Jacob, have times that we're not even aware of it. But thank God He does want to reveal Himself to us. Suddenly I realized, no, you're talking about nothing. Sorry, I remember Heather taught her piano lessons a long time ago. All right, I'm fine. A squirrel? No, I'm really... Thank God He wants to reveal Himself. Do you realize that if God chose not to reveal Himself, there's no way that we would have of knowing that He was ever there? When I was little, I was about 10 years old, my brother, who's 3 years older than I am, and he and his friends would come and we'd play hide and seek. You know how to play hide and seek? Is that in this culture too? I mean, you know, everywhere. Okay. So somebody's it. And if you're it, you have to hide your eyes and, you know, count to whatever number they decide. And they go running off like places and find a place to hide. And there you go. Well, because I was 3 years younger, I wasn't as fast or clever. So oftentimes I was it, like 16 times in a row, I'm it. Because the whole point is that I cover my eyes and I hide, or I count, and they go running off and hide. So, and then I like open my eyes and look around. And of course they're all well hidden, so I can't find them. So I have to begin to inch away from home base and try to find them before they, maybe hidden over there, say, ha-ha, and they come out of Heidi and they run, and if they can touch home base before I get back to home base, then I'm it again. And that's the history of my, with me in this game. Anyway, so my brother and his three friends, I don't know where they got, but they found the best hiding places ever. I mean, they were really good. These guys are smart and clever and a little mean. So they would just hide time after time after time. They would hide, and I couldn't find, so I had to get further and further away from home base to find them, and then pretty soon, like, la, 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 and I turn around, and they were already there. They're laughing at me. All right. So, but my brother eventually had compassion on me because he's hiding. And again, I'm like tears coming down my, I'm upset with the whole thing. I'm tired of being it. I don't want to be it anymore. My brother, good big brother, he'd be well hidden behind some great bush or whatever he's got, and he would hang his arm out. He wouldn't like tuck it in, pull it up so that I couldn't see any part of him. Because of his love for me, he'd be like, la, la, la. And I'm like, you know, wiping the tears away from my eyes and look. I know that arm. I know that arm. Tom, you're it. And, and he was so cool. Tom would come out and say, ah, you found me. He knew what he was doing. He found me. You know that God lets his arm hang out? He loves to reveal himself. He loves to show us who he is. Because if he ever chose not to, we'd be walking around clueless that he's ever even there. And I love the fact that if you look at it in the Bible, you'll find that Old Testament and New, that God loved to reveal himself. I mean, you look at how Jesus revealed himself after his resurrection especially, but not just then, but even before. But he revealed who he was to his disciples. You think about Thomas, 8 days after, right, the following week after Easter, here's Thomas, who didn't really believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, doubting Thomas, as we say. Jesus shows up at that meeting 7-8 days later, walks through the door. I mean, like, literally through the door without it being opened. Kind of a cool thing. And there's time. He walks over to Thomas, you know, showed him his hands and his side and whatnot. And what does Thomas say? Not just like, oh, cool, Jesus. It's like, my Lord and my God. I won't get into it now, but for a Jewish young man especially, who was taught there is one God and only one God, to call a man God, there's something to that, but I can't get into that now. But that was his response to the revelation. The eyes were open. He saw it. My Lord and my God. What about Mary? Talk about Easter. The first Easter morning, a week earlier, she shows up to the tomb to anoint the body. Sad, weeping. And she didn't even see Jesus at first, thought he was the gardener. Talks with him about, if you've moved him, whatever, whatever. And then he turns around and says, what to her? One word. Her name, Mary. Boop. The scales come off. She sees it. Her eyes are open. She clings to him. And then moments later, she's running down the road back to Jerusalem, breathless, to find the disciples. And what does she say? I have seen the Lord. The revelation. And the response, when he reveals himself, we see him for who he is. One more, John, Revelation chapter 1. This is the same John who laid his head on Jesus' breast during the Last Supper. It's the same John that Peter, James, and John. They kind of got the inner circle. They got brought into some of the really cool miracles. Well, here's that same John who knew Jesus well for years. Revelation chapter 1. He hears a voice behind him. John turns around to see the voice. By the way, it's fun to check out the wording on that, to see the voice. I hear voices, but he said to see. So he sees the Lord Jesus Christ risen and glorified. And the whole description is there in that chapter. What does John say? Jesus, good to see you again. The Bible says that when John saw the risen Jesus, whom he knew well, it says, I fell at his feet like a dead man. I fell at his feet like a dead man. That's the response to the revelation of seeing him. So it's a dangerous thing, but a necessary thing to say, Lord, will you open the eyes of my heart? I want to see you. I do. High and lifted up. One more Moses, as we start to head towards the end here. Moses, Exodus 33 and 34, God, he said, I want to see your glory. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Show me who you are. I love you. And God is so cool. God walks up, next chapter, clears his throat, picks up the mic and says, Moses, called him Mo. And God said, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to reveal myself to you. And he lists seven attributes of his nature. Not just what he does, it's who he is. He said, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, abounding in truth, faithful, forgiving. And verse 8 says that when God, my notes don't say cry here, sorry. It's just the revelation of who he is. And when Moses is there, in verse 8, when God had just revealed his name and his nature to Moses, Moses, it says in verse 8, made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship because his eyes were open. It's like, wow. He saw him for who he was. And that's the response. Worship is our response when God reveals himself. That's what I need to say this morning. Worship is not just a song time. The song is wonderful. But worship doesn't begin with singing. And I hold to it, even if it bothers you. Worship begins with seeing the real worship, the kind the Father has been looking for. I mean, even back in earlier in Exodus chapter 3, the same Moses, and God revealed himself back there. It's called the burning bush. You know the story, right? Looking around, here's the bush on fire, but it's not consumed. Moses turned aside to see this amazing sight. And God says, stop where you are. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. So Moses does that. And he come and God, that's a whole sermon in itself. I'm sure you have preached it or will at some point where God reveals himself. Says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am who I am. And God revealed his name and his nature to Moses, who's over there in fear and trembling. The reason I bring that up, not only is it one more time that God revealed himself, but there's a 19th century poet, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, who, by the way, was a passionate lover of Jesus Christ. And in many of her poems, you can see her faith and her spiritual insights reflected. And she wrote, as she is pondering this burning bush incident in Exodus, she wrote this poem that I've never been the same since I've read it. She said, earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest of us sit around and pluck blackberries. Let me read that again. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest of us sit around and pluck blackberries. In other words, it's just a bush. A lot of bushes around that day when Moses was there in the desert. This one was on fire, and it wasn't consumed. Wow, what's going on? But God said, you're entering holy ground. Take off your shoes. And he communed with them. He talked with them. He revealed himself to him there. But you can, if I can say this carefully, we can come to a bush that others say is burning, but we don't see the fire. We just see a common bush. But it's when your eyes have been opened. Only he who sees hears the voice of God saying, take off your shoes. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, no bush here, a lot of blackberries. I'm going to sit there and just going to, you know, I am not being critical when I say, beware of blackberry worship. If you can make the connection to where, like my brain works here. Beware of just coming and sitting, if possible. Beware of coming and just partaking in, and you got to start somewhere. But the point is, worship at some point
whether that day or later. But worship needs to come, and God helping us to open, I'm getting beyond English here, opening our eyes. Worship is more than just sitting there in front of a bush, because we can sit in front of a bush that burns and never see the fire. We can sit in front of a bush and just like miss the point completely because we're just kind of eating the blackberries. And yet that very place that we're casually sitting is called holy ground. And so this is no condemnation on anybody. I'm just saying what God is looking for is more than just a sung time. What He's looking for is the eyes of our heart opened to see Him. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. That's a whole sermon right there. I can't even touch that. But this is the one I wanted to bring up. Only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest of us sit around and just enjoy. We just eat. We just sing the songs. We just go through the motion. We go through the routine, and we... Great service today, Pastor, and boom, we're out the door unchanged because we just sat there and ate blackberries. Does that make sense at all? Am I communicating here? Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. I love that line. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are. Let me end with this. How can we see him better? How can we do that? I mean, worship, if it really begins with seeing, how can we do this? There's an incident in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. And this was laid on my heart as I was driving down here. It's kind of hard to write as I'm driving because I wanted to arrive here alive. So I pulled off the road and I jotted this down. But 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25, apparently in Paul's experience, there was maybe at Corinth or somewhere else, but there was a believer or an unbeliever or somebody inquiring after the things of God who walks into his service, and everybody in that service was prophesying, was sharing prophetically the mind and God's heart. And it says that this person walks in who didn't know God, apparently, and people around him are sharing the word of the Lord. And it says that he hears them. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. He falls on his face before them, and the first thing he does is he worships. And then he gets up and looks around and says, surely God is in this place. He walked in totally going in circles. He walked in totally just wandering, prone to wander. Just walking in, had no idea he was about to, he thought he was going to have some blackberries that morning in church. He missed it. Until he got to the place where God revealed himself. And the blinders, like Acts chapter 9 with Saul turning Paul, it came off, it fell from his eyes like, wow, boom. And he saw it, what he never saw before. He tried to see it, but he couldn't see it. But he walks in, and the word of the Lord came to him, and he falls on his face and worships. You see the response? Worship is our response when God reveals himself to us. And he gets up, like he walks out the door, you can almost see him, like says to people out on the sidewalk, go in there at your own risk. God is in that building. He just read my mail. He just opened my eyes. And he was never the same after that. I'm going to say this carefully and I'm going to be done. Pastors always say that, don't they? Preachers say that. You say, well, that means something or that means nothing. And now for my third closing. No. I wonder if sometimes, and Pastor Dave, I'm going to say this very carefully, but I am going to say it because Tom told me to. No. I wonder, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, I wonder if there are times that we would begin our worship time rather differently. And please don't do this next week, because I'm going to call and find out if you did this. It has to be as God leads you. We often hear a statement similar to, let's stand to our feet for a time of worship. It's great. If you do it for the rest of your life, that's fine. Every time you leave worship, it's fine. But I wonder if sometimes the worship leader who has heard from God might lead us as we open worship in a little bit different way. And you might say something like, you know, let's just sit quietly for a few moments and ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart and to reveal himself to us. And when he does that, you may find yourself drawn to your knees. You may find yourself falling on your face for a time of worship. Now, I know that's like, wait a minute, we're in the Western culture, or Western, you know, we don't do that anymore. Okay, I'm not saying we should do anything. I'm just saying that maybe, as God builds his church, as God continues to take us where he wants us to be, maybe there would be a time that we would follow the Spirit of God who is so anxious to reveal Jesus to us. And as we sit in the chair and we wait and we listen and we're just there just for a few moments, we're listening. And maybe the revelation that only God can give would begin to come. And we would find that, and I've thrown aside many song lists over the years, because my good intentions were not really what was needed at that point. It was the fact that God was doing something different than I thought. See, with God and me, it's not a democracy. He's the king. And we want to do the way king business and kingdom business. So as much as I put in that song list that I'm about to lead, or was going to lead at that point, God just smiles at me and says, son, you did well, but we're not doing that. And then we sat and we listened and we waited and we asked God to reveal himself. And then the response to that revelation, we began to sense it in our heart. We began to see the fire in the bush. The response was, let's wait. Let's wait a minute. And then one by one, people begin to kneel in their chair. Get down. And sometimes not a single song was sung. But worship doesn't begin with singing. It begins with seeing. It's not that you can't sing, but if you can see first, then you'll sing like you never sang before. Because you see something now worth singing about. Do you see where I'm going? All right. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Dave will give it to you. But let's ask the Lord, Father, right now in this place, we don't know what you have in mind for next week and the weeks and the months and the years to follow. But we ask you, all of us, worship leaders, pastor, all of people, all of those that come, we ask you to help us to be sensitive to your voice, sensitive to your word, sensitive to your presence. We thank you that it is the intention of your heart. You proactively desire to reveal yourself to us. It is what you love to do. You stick your arm out. Oh, we thank you that you've intended that we should not walk in circles, that we should walk straight. So you've given us the points of reference. So Lord, would you help us to fix our eyes on you, to be aware of what you're doing and saying in our midst. And even in our times, together, that you orchestrate, Holy Spirit, the times of worship that we have together, may your will be done. May this place, this entire church, this church set on a hill would be burning with fire. Maybe not even as we expect that to happen, but it would be holy ground because God is in this place adding to the church those that need to be saved, those that need to be here. And we do pray for growth, but we pray for a growth not just in numbers, but we pray for a growth, Lord, in a bush that burns. And eyes that see, and the ability to put aside the blackberry consumption and find that we're on holy ground. So guide this church throughout their future to become such a wonderful expression of the kingdom and the presence of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Pastor.
Seeing is everything, isn't it? When Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and what did it cause him to do? It caused him to worship, yeah. So You can sit or stand, it doesn't matter. But let's close with a song that our brother referenced. And if you don't know all of the words, then all you have to do is just say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Father, that's our heart's cry. Father, we want to see you. Thank you, Lord. Father, reveal yourself and help our hearts to be quiet and willing to receive from you, Lord. Help us to find that secret place in our own heart where we can have our heart and our eyes opened, Lord, and we can behold you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like prayer today, someone will be here to pray for you. If not, God bless you. Go and spend some time this week before the bush. See the fire in it. Spend some time with the Lord. Spend some quiet time. And he'll reveal himself to you. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Amen.